You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah. What are you gonna You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Abaragani, brothers and sisters. Abaragani, which means what's the news? And of course, today is the last day of Kwanzaa, and that is Imani, faith. It has been a great Kwanzaa season, because to me, it's always great, even though the circumstances being what they are. But and I hope that maybe because the circumstances that a lot of people had opportunity to get on a Zoom call, maybe, you know, got with family members and they did a Zoom or they hooked up with like the Kwanzaa that was happening in Tuskegee, Alabama. Maybe that they got in on that one. Or brother Mickey Dean's out of Kansas City, the Kansas City National Black United Front, their Kwanzaa. Or one that I did not know about and you knew about and you got on that one. And told many others. I hope that was the case. You know, the bottom line is that we need Kwanzaa. As I said, Kwanzaa is something that is very important. Kwanzaa is something that we as African people must understand that it is ours. Kwanzaa is ours. It is not Malana Karinga's. Is not anybody else, any other individual. It is ours collectively as African people. Kwanzaa is ours. And it is ours on the continent. It is ours throughout the diaspora. I believe that Kwanzaa is a unifying factor. Embracing the Kwanzaa principles of unity, self-determination, collective work responsibility, cooperative economics, creativity, purpose, creativity, and faith, then that by embracing those, we embrace ourselves and what is good within ourselves. It is vitally important that we understand that. But more importantly, we practice that. Not because just somebody has words. No, words are important. No doubt about it. I agree with the importance of words. But, you know. Yeah. We need that. We need each other. We need to have the respect for each other. You know, one of the things that this particular Kwanzaa season, because of how the virus has done what it has done and fragmented and delayed and canceled and all kinds of stuff that it has done. But yet, if we are committed, we'll have Kwanzaa. We'll have Kwanzaa in our homes. You know, like I said, that was one of the first places that I celebrated Kwanzaa until we started having, mass Kwanzaa celebrations at various venues, you know. And I wonder how Brother Claiborne's Kwanzaa went this year. I'm going to give him a call, find out how they went this year for him. You know, and I admire Baba Claiborne Benson for his diligence in keeping Kwanzaa alive in our community for so many years. You know, then Josephine Hill, Sister Josephine Hill at the African American Women's Center. And what they would do is that, you know, they would go back and forth with Kwanzaa first one time. And one time everything was celebrated at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society every day. We planned. I remember that one year we planned and then had Kwanzaa every day. And we had good crowds every day. You know, had a lot of good entertainment, a lot of good presentations. And then, of course, the African American Women's Center came into existence and we started having Kwanzaas there as well, you know, going back and forth. And other venues, the Black Holocaust Museum, Dr. James Cameron's Black Holocaust Museum. And when I get to Milwaukee, I'm going to make sure I check it out because I believe that it is open again. I believe that it is, you know, and having Kwanzaas there. You know, Kwanzaa has a celebration is very, very important. Let me go through some announcements and so forth and finish up the discussion. I'm going to definitely go over the the sovereignist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. That needs to be, you know, we need to embrace that. We need to understand that. And I know the regular Kwanzaa interpreter, that's cool, but no, this needs to be done because we need to more. We had to have this kind of focus because we want and we need to be independent. We need to be self-determining. We need to be liberated. We need to be sovereign. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. Then it's from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Melanin Live. I wonder if they broadcast yesterday. I wonder if they did that, Melanin Live. That would be interesting to find out. Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and my dear friend, Sister Bonisa Ayan. If it's Friday, and today is Friday. So if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's going to be Time for an Awakening. That's right, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard tonight at 8 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, tomorrow, Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it will be Time for an Awakening for Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And, of course, their big push is trying to raise money to open up a supermarket in the Atlanta area because it is pathetic that as many of us here and the amount of money that many of us have, that we don't have a supermarket. It is ridiculous. It is sad that we don't own a supermarket. In fact, what we should be doing, aside from building a supermarket, we should do what the Indians did and build a strip mall in an area that will be accessible for our people. A good number of our people are located in a strip mall with a supermarket, with a convenience store, with a service station, with a furniture store, with a clothing store, with a sit-down restaurant, with a takeout restaurant, with a jewelry store. All those things that we buy, that we provide for each other. That's what we should do. I don't know if anywhere in the damn country we have something like that. You know, next time I go to Philadelphia, I'm going to check out that Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan had created, because I think that it's still in existence. Maybe I'll ask Brother Elliot. But anyway, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Yeah. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Taimba is on the continent. He is in Ghana. He's coming back in the next few days, next week. And it'll be interesting to hear him talk about what went down. And that's going to be great. That's going to be great, I tell you. You know, Brother Bamani Taimba has taken many of our people over to Africa. And he has some trips upcoming. He has a trip upcoming in April 2nd through the 12th, to Senegal and Gambia. Then he has another trip to Ghana, May 24th to June 4th. And then he has a trip to Tanzania. That's going to be in November 18th through the 29th. And I want to go. I'm going to go on that trip. That's right. I'm going to put my money down. I'm going to pay on it so it doesn't cause me any, you know, big trouble with dropping a huge amount of bread and just pay over it for the, you know, monthly and that kind of thing. So by the time it happens, there it is. But brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. And of course, on his website, everything that you need to make it happen is there. Yeah, everything you need. I'm not sure why Baba Rinoco's website is not happening. There's some things going on. I can't pull up the upcoming trip, and I know he has a trip to Kemet in August, and he has a trip to Uganda and Rwanda, and that's going to be October. So find out what's happening with that. Yeah, give him a call. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africans Establish Educational at Home and Abroad. Habashah Incorporated. And it's an outstanding program with the Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs, and Golden Growers, and of course the Kashi Project that is being done as we speak in Ghana. And so this is something that deserves to be supported. So check out HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Be a part of the Ledge Group. You know, they deal with the four areas of sustainability, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. And they're on the ground in Africa with 12 projects in 6 different countries, employing over 170 people. And, of course, have 160 members. Be a part of the Ledge Group. Yes. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar right here in Atlanta. In the West End, cross street from Soul Village, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Fridays and Saturdays. Today, I'm not sure because today is the first, but hey, I don't know. No, I would be. It don't make no difference to me. Because if I'm supposed to be open on Fridays and Saturdays, I'd be open on Fridays and Saturdays. Just like this radio program. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, I'm broadcasting unless there's extenuating circumstances. You know? Extenuating circumstances. So the Wadada Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy here in the West End. And so check them out. Also, let me give you their phone number at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall is moving. That's right. They put a call out. I saw it. Mama Nia is moving from the current location. I'm not sure why, but I'm going to go find out because I'm going to go help the ass brothers and sisters from the community if they could just donate a bit of time to help pack books and so forth. And so I definitely want to do that. I appreciate the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier. I appreciate all the bookstores. You know, a lot of times every community just don't have bookstores no more. Milwaukee doesn't. Milwaukee, I remember one time, had like 4 bookstores. Yeah, 4. You know, now they have 0. And so another bookstore here, I mean, we got the Shrine. The Shrine is a bookstore. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu has been doing an outstanding job of putting that Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore together. It looks beautiful. He has a coffee bar in there now. And the beautiful Kwanzaa we had on the first day of Kwanzaa. I want to thank brother Gazimde. And you could see it on YouTube. It is on YouTube. So, and Baba Baruti's address on Umoja is outstanding. It's worth it. So go to YouTube. And, of course, Baba Gazimde Ajamu, the number to call over at the Black Dot is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore, which is moving, and I'll find out more about where they're moving to. But they're moving within the Greenbrier Mall, from my understanding, but I'll find out for sure. Yeah. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast last night, it happened on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. And that's every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10. Just 1 hour, brothers and sisters, from 9 p.m. to 10. And, of course, if you just want to call in and listen, you can do that. If you want to call in, give questions, comments, or concerns, you can do that, too, by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sanjay Dash Aiti. Sister Gabby, I told you she sent me a bunch of pictures. And it's always beautiful to see what she has done working with those young people, those students. They look beautiful working with the healthcare component that they have, make sure they're healthy. And then the agricultural piece, sustainable agriculture, as well as entrepreneurship, because they do a lot of drying fruit and so forth and canning it and that kind of thing, and the chickens and all kinds of good stuff. That is Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti .org. Akaban Institute. And of course, if you want to check out some of Baba Baruti's books, he's prolific. Believe me, he is. Akaban Institute, go to akabenhouse.com. Go to Akaben, A-K-O-B-E-N, house.com, and check out Baba Baruti's books. If you want to support the educational component of raising our young warriors, go to Akaben Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akaben Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want your, you can do what I have done. Go to Cash App and put in a dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your monthly donation if that's what you would like to do. It's a new year, if you want to call it that. And so maybe you will want to do that. That would be great. I'm quite sure it would be commendable and really appreciated. Believe me. So, the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sasim. December 31st. I'm an African warrior, a warrior scholar. I refuse to be at peace with anything less. Mwalimu K. Bomani Burundi. Baba Burundi. To be Sapho means to be a member of an African warrior class. It means that you have put away the thoughts and toys of this European world and are consciously, committedly, aggressively, uncompromisingly, and completely employing your African spirit, mind, and body in the battle to combat the destruction of African people. It means that you know that any conversation with our enemies ended the moment they assaulted any one of us. And you know that that conversation ended 4,000 years ago. I mean, it means that you know that the word warrior is not just a title you use to dilute yourselves or others into your warrior fantasies while you do nothing worthy of such an honorable title. Being a warrior is not play. It is not a game. It is not pretend, make believe, or fantasy. It is not a badge or a uniform you wear to impress those you want to hold you in awe or in bed. Being an African warrior scholar in Asafo means that you are studying and acting on our story, as if our children's futures depend on you and you're not repeating any of our known or foreseeable mistakes. It means you know that the root word in warrior is war. And being a warrior means that you're willing to engage in battle to defeat anyone who acts in a warlike fashion against our people. Affirm, I am an African warrior, a warrior scholar. I refuse to be at peace with anything less. Affirm, I am an African warrior, a warrior scholar. I refuse to be at peace with anything less. The Inye Sasim. That's one. That was the old one. Now the new one. Inye Sasim, Volume 2. Inye Sasim means wise words from the tree language in Ghana. Inye Sasim means wise words. January 1st, we become conspirators in our own destruction as we assist in their quest for world domination. Historically, for Europeans, progress success has equaled a continual pattern of acquisition without relinquishing anything to or for anyone, with the goal being more acquisitions for more power. Goals become fulfilled, progress does not. As well, we have become engaged in this confusion. As a result, we increasingly give away many of our traditions, beliefs, and values, our culture, in an attempt to melt into this world. We emerge with a unique set of values and beliefs set on a retracted foundation. Then, out of a need to survive, we create an illusion that these worlds can blend harmoniously. We become unbalanced and the vital links to our culture erode. Dr. Muwia Kambon. We are in the midst of the expansion of a virus so evil and murderous that it will do anything to satisfy its insatiable bloodlust. Its despiritualized, dehumanized death force has manufactured a reality wherein the instigation and perpetuation of wanton violence are primary,
incontestable objectives, because only in this way its soul is fed. And no matter how daunting, how overwhelming the challenge may appear, this invasive species cannot be ignored. Be not confused, warriors. There is no negotiating with evil. Let me repeat. There is no negotiating with evil. Evil exists to be evil. It cannot be evil. It will cease. If it cannot be evil, it will cease to exist. Therefore, unless stopped, it will consume all those for whom we are responsible, and then us. Affirm, I fight against the confusion which maintains Urugu's global domination. Affirm, I fight against the confusion which maintains Urugu's global domination. January 2nd. Some people are your relatives, but others are your ancestors, and you choose the ones you want to have as ancestors. You create yourself out of those values. Ralph Ellison. Succinctly, ancestors are those individuals who were born before you and have transitioned from the physical world and returned to the spiritual realm. Warriors must be carefully selected, those who we call ancestors, based on their work during their lifetime here. Neither those who commit treason against our people nor those who oppressed us qualify to be honored as elders while they are here, or ancestors once they have departed. As do their ancestors, people always pick their elders. Those choices are not random. Warriors pick Jagnas as elders. Compromise people pick compromise elders, really older. They're older, they're not elder, they're older, so that there is not the responsibility of them themselves being checked for their compromised thoughts, words, and deeds by those who are supposedly wiser than them. Olders dare not throw the first stone for their fear that their compromise, too, will be exposed. If there are characteristics like arrogance, accountability, and unadulteratedness, and unilateralness, which disqualifies one from eldership, then there are qualities like arrogance, jumping to the gun, and making assumptions without evidence, which disqualify one from warriorhood, and therefore from inserting oneself into the position of determining who is and who is not an elder. Remember that when we do not listen to our elders, we receive no warnings. And as our enemies would desire, we remain defenseless against the assaults which already discernible patterns and therefore predictable desired endings. Affirm, I choose my ancestors and elders wisely. Affirm, I choose my ancestors and elders wisely. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. Yeah, today is January 1st, and we're going to pay a tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. If you know me, then you would know that I have great admirer and a lot of love and respect for Dr. John Henry Clark. So we're going to talk about him a little later, and I hope that you can join us, and of course, give also some love to Doc Ben. His birthday was yesterday. Dr. Ben's birthday was yesterday, and Dr. Clark is today. And of course, Bubba Cambon reminded me of that. And every time I say Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Chancellor Williams, I think about that picture of them sitting in the airport, you know, with their hats on and trench coats on, traveling someplace to, you know, impart more knowledge and wisdom on our people who so desperately need it, you know. Yeah.
John Henry Clark, a great Jegna. Today being the last day of Kwanzaa, and of course we're going to play Kwame and Shavinduka's Seven Principles, the last day, Kumba, creativity, which was yesterday, and Imani today. And I know Milwaukee on today, we would have the Kamaru. I know on some practices on Thursdays, not Thursdays, on the sixth day, they have the Kamaru. But we began to have it on the last day, the Kamaru Ye Imani. And we would have potlucks and food provided. I mean, it was just beautiful, you know, beautiful day, whether it was at Brother Claiborne Benson's Black Historical Society or whether it was at Sister Josephine Hill's African-American Women's Center. Those two venues were ours. And I remember, once again, there was a moment in time in Milwaukee where we had Kwanzaa in a number of venues. A lot of the venues were public. In fact, we had it at the museum, at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Yeah. Yeah. Had great entertainment. Yeah. Even had the brother from Chicago, the Spellbinder, the magician, the Spellbinder. That's a good brother out of Chicago. And also, too, we had Shavinduka and Brother Kwame present. They were in Milwaukee at the African World Festival a couple of times, but we also had them here doing Kwanzaa. In fact, I was going to play a piece that I saw on YouTube that was from the 2010 Kwanzaa in Chicago at the Malcolm X University in Chicago. In fact, they even mentioned Conrad Wuerl, who's an ancestor now, who died last year of COVID. They mentioned him. And they did two songs from that, and they did Imani, and they did Umoja, you know. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and play from the CD, from their CD, Seven Principles. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I played it all the days leading up to Kwanzaa, and, of course, every day during Kwanzaa on the principles of that day or the day before to make sure that we had it in sequential order, you know, because I believe, and there's a number of us who believe, the importance of Kwanzaa, and that Kwanzaa is a holiday that deserves to be supported, you know, and that it is ours, you know, that Kwanzaa is ours, and it is not any one individual, it is ours, you know, and it's important that we celebrate Kwanzaa. Let me see if I can find that one piece, and because I like the way that it's written, and because you know, we Kwanzaa has a unifying factor. And it can be, you know, that's the deal. It can be. Is it? Well, I say that it is. Many people say that it is not, you know. So I say that it is. You know, I read a piece last week about the importance of Kwanzaa from your African world. It's a good article. And here's another piece that from a brother from out of New Orleans. The importance of Kwanzaa is self-determination and self-celebration. The importance of Kwanzaa is self-determination and self-celebration. Kwanzaa was initiated by Malala Karenga and draws on both our African heritage and our American experience. Kwanzaa is the only non-personality-orientated holiday formerly celebrated by American African people. Kwanzaa depends on us and only us
to exist at the same time Kwanzaa's existence affirms our struggle and our progress. Kwanzaa is our holiday because we made it our holiday. Regardless of what others may think or feel about Kwanzaa, it is ours. Kwanzaa is our holiday because it celebrates. In celebrating Kwanzaa, we focus on ourselves. To the degree that we make Kwanzaa important in the celebration of our lives, to that same degree, Kwanzaa celebration nationwide elevates us in the eyes of everyone who view our Kwanzaa efforts and evaluates the capabilities of us as a people to chart our own destiny. Yeah. Kamala, yay, salam out of New Orleans. This is the interpretation, the Ngusa Saba, the sovereignist. This is the sovereignist. Okay, Oshi, try that again. This is the sovereignist interpretation of the Ngusa Saba, you know, because once again, what is our end game? What is our end game, African people? Our end game is sovereignty. Our end game is not integration. Our end game is not assimilation. Our end game is not melting into a so-called melting pot. Our end game is not to be part and parcel of this madness. Our end game is not voting and praying that we somehow have the two senators, the two individuals who are running for Senate, U.S. Senate here, that they would make sure they supplant the two incumbent senators, U.S. Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, with John Ossoff and, Raphael Warnock. That's not our end game. It has shown time and time again that partisan politics does nothing for us in the end. Makes us feel good for a moment, doesn't it? Makes us feel good for a moment, but it really does nothing for us. We need to chart our own course. We need to be independent. And I look at our situation here. It has to come a point in time for us that we make that distinction. Just like I made that point a few weeks ago. Are we African or are we black? And even though many of us use those terms synonymously, we use those terms synonymously. But are we African or are we black? And I maintain that we are Africans. We're not black. Black is a color. Dr. Clark said, once again, Dr. Clark, when you think of a people, you must bring up land, history, and culture. There is no, no. There's Africans, land, history, and culture. And I know, and the reason why I'm making that distinction is because there are many people who want to be black, who don't want to be African. They don't want to be white, although their behavior and attitude and things that they desire are white. But they don't want to be African. So, we need to make those distinctions. We need to draw the line. Either you in or you're out. We need to draw the line, and that day has to come soon. This is the sovereigntist interpretation of the Ngusa Saba, presented to us by our dear sister, Dr. Marimba Ani, she is in Africa. That's right, she's in Africa. Returning soon, I hope. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and constructing an African world order. So the unity of African people under this Pan-African, under the Pan-African vision on the continent and throughout the diaspora, we all share in that vision. We can still be in the Caribbean. We can still be in Central and South America. We can still be here or in Canada, wherever we are. But we hold allegiance to the continent. We lend expertise, if possible, to the liberation of the continent and a vision of one Africa, of the United States of Africa, or United African States, as the Pan-Africanist Federalist Movement make the term, the United African States. So that vision and that reality must come into fruition. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people, plain and simple. That is it. Nobody outside of us does anything, says anything, does any, regardless or irregardless. So you can say something for so long, it will become a word. Irregardless is a word. Yeah, it is. The dictionary says it's a word. You use it so damn often, but we didn't say it wasn't a word, and then y'all kept using it, so okay, fine, it's a word. Regardless. But regardless of the situation, you know, we must define ourselves. That's the beauty of self-determination. These principles of African sovereignty should be just, these are the Kwanzaa principles. The same principles instilled in our everyday lives. I took these principles very seriously as I began to seriously embrace Kwanzaa. Not just when I had earlier on went to people's homes and saw, yes, beautiful. No, I seriously embraced and understood that these principles were not just, you know, to say a Baragani, you know, during December 26th and January 1st. No, it was about every day of our lives. We define that. We shape that. We say that it is. We say that it is. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. We determine that system of accountability. And we work together to make it happen. We begin to trust one another, believe in one another, support one another, love one another, respect one another. We're willing to work with one another to make things happen for ourselves, for us as African people, for our children, for our futures, in honor of our ancestors. In support of our elders. You know, that's one of the things that I come to understand, that, you know, elders are recognized by the community, not olders. People can be just old. Elders are recognized. Now, if you ever heard me do a libation, even though I am an elder, I'm old. You know, but when I ask an elder for permission to speak, I recognize. I wouldn't ask it if everybody in the audience was my age or younger, you know. But if I see a esteemed elder such as Dr. Mariba Kelsey, who's 94 years old and sharp as a tack. God, I love that man. He's a beautiful man. Baba Kelsey. Always ask him for permission to speak. Just like at the Kwanzaa this past
Saturday on this past Saturday, the first day, Umoja, Brother Asajifo from Timbuktu Jewry. I call upon him as an esteemed elder for permission to speak. If I recognize an esteemed elder is someone who has proven over periods of time. They just didn't become an elder. No, they have a life's work and they continue to work. They didn't say, okay, I'm an elder now. I'm going to just go sit down and chill out, you know, and bask in my eldership. You know, no, they continue to put the work in. They continue, and that's what I hope to do, to continue to lend my hands, continue to do whatever I can to the forward flow of our liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common sense of accountability, collective work, and responsibility. Ujima. Ujamaa. Familyhood. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and a community, national and global African unity. We support that. We support that monetarily. We support that. We give resources to it so it can grow. And so other Africans can benefit. Ujamaa. It's not just that we support your business and because we support your business grows, but yet you don't give back. No, we support you because you give back. You develop and grow. You expand it. You hire more of us. You do things in support of ourselves. You give scholarships. That's what we're talking about. Familyhood. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guides our choices and decisions. This gives us sacred purpose to our lives and to our work. It tells us why we have chosen to be African. NIA, purpose. Kumba, creativity. To think with African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We find and return to our own way, the way of our ancestors. Our creativity. And we do it within that respect. And finally, Imani, faith, to believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will to bring it into being. The will. See, we may talk some game and all this, but the bottom line is, do we have the will to make it happen? That's the bottom line. Do we have the will? Make it happen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we appreciate Kwanzaa of this year. We're going to talk about Dr. John Henry Clark. So you join the conversation. You may have some stories, you may have some feelings about Dr. John Henry Clark. We appreciate that. And so here's creativity. This is Kwame and Shavinduka. Creativity followed by the power of faith. We'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
It's embarrassing. required. We are all blessed with vision, and on this we must rely. When a challenge means there's pressure, our jewels of thought emerge. As our minds receive this treasure, diamonds of light and
listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
There is
dreams from the night. Follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Oh, I love that song. It's a beautiful song. Sister Shavinduka and Brother Kwame. That ends the Kwanzaa for this year, Kwanzaa 2020, here on African Perspectives. And I loved it. Appreciate it. And I hope that you did too. I really do. Some of you may or may not, but I don't know. It's up to you. I know I embrace it and will always will. Dr. John Henry Clark. Born January 1st, 1915, and I know that when I moved here 6 years ago, that January, we had a memorial. We went to Columbus, Georgia, and had a memorial at his gravesite, the members of ASCAC. We had our ASCAC Southeast Conference, and it was moving. It was beautiful, you know, and I had to be a part of it. Of course, I'm part of ASCAC, and you know, in fact, I'm not sure if that's when I first saw Dr. John Henry Clark, or became connected to with Dr. John Henry Clark. Well, I know I used to play his tapes. I had a cassette player in my car, and I would listen, and I could listen to Dr. Clark for days. In fact, when Wesley Snipes, he started the short story that Dr. Clark made, which is The Child Who Painted Christ Black, and you can go to YouTube and pull that up, The Child Who Painted Christ Black, and see that half-hour program for yourself with Wesley Snipes, Dr. King's daughters in it, Yolanda King, before she passed, you know, and quite a few others. It's a beautiful story, and it is really good. So The Child Who Painted Christ Black. And because of that, Dr. Wesley Snipes helped finance and narrated A Great and Mighty Walk. Also, you can check that out on YouTube, A Great and Mighty Walk. And some of the excerpts from that, you know. Yeah. I tell you, that was a beautiful memorial service for Dr. Clark. And he passed July 16th in 1998 at the age of 83. You know, he had started to go blind. You know, he used to joke about that, you know, with him and Malcolm, because he provided El Hajj Malik El Shabazz with the information that he needed to do his debates. Whenever he did debates, and he would, Dr. Clark would school him and give him the historical information. So when he was discussing things, he was on point, you know. And Malcolm would call him a pork eater. You know, what a pork eater, you know. In fact, February 21st of 1965, Dr. Clark said he was at some kind of reception. And he found out about Malcolm being assassinated. And I think he went into a bathroom or a room and just cried, excused himself from the reception and cried, because he knew the man and his mission and how he helped him and all the things that he did to become very close, you know. And
One of the highlights of my life, aside from the birth of my two daughters and grandsons and all the other things that you would consider a highlight of your life, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Dr. Clark. That's right. I was at the Indiana Black Expo. I can't remember the year. It was in the 90s, obviously before 98. And in fact, the new Jack Scott, you know, further when I kind of, reminisce about that, it was one hell of an Indiana Black Expo, you know? I mean, wow. Muhammad Ali, because they have a boxing program, show there. And one of the fighters on the program was amateur at the time, Money Mayweather. But more importantly, Muhammad Ali was there. And it was my second time encountering Muhammad Ali until the last time I encountered him was when a friend of mine, we went to his museum in Louisville, and he was there, and I had an opportunity to hug him and tell him I love him. Wish I had a damn cell phone, to take a picture. Somebody to take a picture. I sure wish that. But, of course, that's why I hope I never get Alzheimer's, because I got some great memories. But I sure wish I had that picture. You know, that would have been on everything. That would have been my screensaver. That would have been on everything with Muhammad Ali. But at that Indiana Black Expo, Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Tupac Shakur, Anthony Broder. In fact, he had just come out with his book, Nile Valley Contributions, and I bought it, and he had autographed it. I mean, I could go on. The New Jack Scholars, Dr. Mario Beatty, and, of course, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, and Mario's wife, Alethea Beatty. I mean, this was just fantastic. And I was in that mix because I was part of the people putting it on. You know, Brother Kamal and his wife, and of course, Paulette Fair, Turner Fair's wife. You know, Turner Fair had died, and Turner Fair had created the African chart. I mean, it's just fantastic. It was just a great, and they set me up with the opportunity to have lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. I had the opportunity to sit literally at the feet of a master teacher. Man, thank you for that opportunity. You know, and I had listened to him consistently, and I love to hear him talk. I love to hear that draw. In fact, I think one of the things that kind of moved me was when I heard him talk about the Sunday school lessons. And if you want to get into this conversation, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you're on, I got a few people who are on. If you want to have a comment, question, or concern, or just give a perspective, please hit star twice. Hit star twice. Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Appreciate that. Hit star twice. And I heard him, because he was a Sunday school teacher, Dr. Clark. But he did not see us in the Sunday school lesson. All the pictures were Caucasian and so forth. And Dr. Clark was just like, it did not settle with him. And he asked this Caucasian minister, why are all the pictures and why are not we represented in that part of the world that you know it should be? And when Dr. Clark says this, I feel him. I feel how he felt when this Caucasian said to him, I'm sorry, John, your people have no history. How it just, your people have no history. But that is what led him on the path to seeking knowledge. That's what led him on the path to reclaiming, recapturing, and restoring the history of African people. That's what it did. We have a caller. 267. Good afternoon, 267.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Ocean. I want to say good day. I've been waiting, man. Let me see. almost an hour and a half to say Happy New Day to you, my brother. You know what I mean? I guess you weren't looking at the phone line, but I just wanted to, like, wish you and your family a safe 2021, my man. And and I was listening to Kwanzaa, and you know me, Brother Oshie, I'm always like, when I hear Kwanzaa and I hear unity and all the other valuable principles, the thing I said, man, instead of celebrating them, why don't we practice it?
You know what I mean? There you go, Ralph.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And because words are meaningless unless we live them.
That's right.
And, you know, and I make a conscious effort. Because
yes.
You brought up black businesses.
Yes.
I make a conscious effort to at least go to one, at least a week, because there's scarcity in between. Because
right.
Let me tell you something. We are the only people. We might have Kwanzaa candles and all that stuff in our homes, but we're the only people that boycott our own businesses. So, you know, I mean, I look at all that, brother.
Yeah.
I look at all that, and, you know, I just got to keep it real. You might have Kwanzaa all in your windows and ride right past a black-owned business and go and spend your money elsewhere.
That's right.
On some garbage that's not even healthy for
that's
you.
That's right.
So, you know, and, you know, people talking about New Year and the thing about it, I lost my mother on January 4th, so I take it day by day.
Uh-huh.
This is not my New Year. My New Year is when the sun is out.
That's right.
The stuff start growing.
That's right.
The animals come back out.
That's right.
That's my New Year. That's... I don't know who wants a New Year right in the middle of ice and a pandemic and all that. I mean, come on. That's your New Year. My New Year is when stuff is growing.
That's right.
When the animals come back out. And the insects, because they're part of this creator's plan, too. When
That's
they
right.
come back out. And, you know, and I can enjoy the sun and get my vitamin D to battle
that's right.
this garbage.
That's right.
So,
it's a rebirth.
You know, that's my New Year, brother.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And I heard you last week, or was it this week, when you talked about Augustus Caesar and you talked about Julius Caesar,
right.
how they had to, like, disrupt whatever was in place before the Gregorian calendar
mm-hmm.
and have some months to honor them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's really... They have power to do that. You know what I mean? It's just that some of us got to recognize what it is, see the evil for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and go from there. And I got just one more thing, because I know it's probably some other brothers and sisters that was on hold also. And there were. I ain't going to say. They were on hold. But let me tell you something. You got another brother, and I ain't going to say his name. But this... brother who I got to give him credit. He's with black media. But this brother is promoting our folks to take this vaccine.
Oh.
And,
yeah,
man. And we'll get upset at you if you disagree with him. Now, we all have our opinions.
Yeah.
You know, I know people get pissed off at me with mine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have my own way of thinking. And the thing about it, when we can accept each other for the differences that we bring, that's real unity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we all have different opinions. But why are you going to be telling people to take this go? And I had to say to that brother one time, you remember the smallpox blanket too?
Yeah.
You know, these are the same people.
Yeah.
Remember the smallpox blanket? We all know about Tuskegee, and the black doctor and the black nurse they had at the forefront of that.
Yeah,
I mean, God knows what we are carrying now, and they just monitoring to see how much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see, you know, and this brother is very angry at me for voicing my opinion about, like, I said, look, let's look, you know, in the spiritual principle of unity. Let me just put it this way. I ain't putting that sugar honey iced tea in me.
Ashe. Ashe, brother.
You know what I mean?
Ashe.
I'm not. And the brothers that I go fishing with, you know, I told them, I said, look, if y'all go on ahead and get it, then that make me feel safer to go out there on that boat with y'all and fish.
Mm.
I'm not putting it in me.
No.
Because I know the track record of the demons. I mean... You got a man named Bill Gates.
Yeah.
That believe in global depopulation.
Yes.
that's one of the backers of this stuff.
That's right. I mean, when he had a TED talk and he said, we have created vaccines to deal with population control. I mean, he said this is not verbatim.
Right out of his mouth.
Out of his mouth. Exactly. And I said, vaccines for population control? I thought vaccines were supposed to help people, you know, to increase population. They wouldn't get sick and so forth. And vaccines for population control? But also Anthony Fauci. So you have these people who are promoting this, who have always been into population control. You know, and whose population they want to control? That not theirs, because their population is decreasing. Their population, they are experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. For every two that die, only one is born. But for us, and our population is young, because their population is old. Their population on average now is in their 40s. So their childbearing is diminished. So now...
Did you hear Joe Biden when he addressed your leaders? I'm not going to say they're mine, but your leaders, Al Sharpton, and the Urban League and all that, when he told them, like, 2040, you know, the white people are going to be the minority. Mm-hmm. So y'all need to band up with the Hispanics. Did you hear Joe Biden when he said that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, man, this is I just look at stuff and I keep it to myself. But every once in a while, I got a vent.
Yeah.
I hear you,
Ralph.
Who put these leading blacks to the forefront? You know, and so I look at all this, man, and I just say, like, look. And I got to say this, and then I'm going to let you go. Did you see about the Australian vaccine when they started putting that in people?
No.
Well, Google it. I mean, they halted it because they said there were false HIV positives coming in.
Why can't you say his name? I say his name. Happy New Year.
No. Don't do that, brother.
No, I'm not. I just wanted to say Happy New Year to both of you.
When I called the local morning host up here, and I told him about that story, I'm not going to have you sharing false information. It was the wrong kind of vaccine, and just because. But do you want to take that chance to have false reading of HIV in your veins? I don't think so. And there's some strange reason they're promoting these HIV drugs all on my television set every daggone day. So,
well,
you know,
I mean, you know,
come on, man.
How many now vaccines are there? There are at least about four or five vaccines that anywhere effectiveness from 70% to 95%. So they say, you know, some needs to be deep freezed. Some don't need to be deep freezed. And then you have some cat from Wisconsin, some doctor from Wisconsin who allegedly taken about 50 of the vaccines, taking them out of the refrigerator, out of being cold and so forth, putting them in room temperature, thereby decreasing its effectiveness and its freshness in terms of being something that is injected will do the job it's supposed to do, you know, whatever that is. But I'm with you, Ralph. I am not getting this vaccine. Mm-mm. In fact, if you get a chance to listen to Wednesday's program, upcoming Wednesday, I will be talking about some alternatives to the vaccine of information that have been being sent to me. One by Sister Susumi out of Botswana sent me a nice piece. And it's a brother here talking about, you know, just like what you just said, vitamin D.
Vitamin D3.
Yeah.
Vitamin D. Because 80% of the people that suffer with this thing are vitamin D deficient.
Exactly, because they keep their ass indoors, and the fact that they were afraid, now they're like, oh, I can't go outside. I got to stay quarantined, you know. So you're not getting any sunlight, and nor are you taking any vitamin D, you know.
Right.
So you know, we're going to talk about that Wednesday. I'm going to be objective about it. I'm not pushing it, promoting it one way or the other. But the bottom line is I know I won't.
I'm not going to take this vaccine.
Hell no.
You know?
All right, then, brother. I'm going to finish listening to you on TuneIn, man. I just had to, like, call in and say, like, I'll be listening.
I know you do. I appreciate it, man. I know. I appreciate you. All right.
All right, brother Jay. You take care, brother Jay.
Hey, hold catch, brother.
All right.
Happy New Year to you and the family.
Right on. Jay, what's up, man?
Hey, nah, man, I had to, when I hear my brother Ralph, I had to call in and say what's happening to that brother there. That's a beautiful brother
yes,
there.
Yes, it
just
is,
like
man.
You.
Yes, oh, he
you,
is.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know the story, don't you?
Brother.
You know the story, don't you? Brother Ralph was listening to me on Blog Talk. Brother Ralph.
Right.
Brother Ralph made the connection with me and Brother Elliot. And that's how I got on Time for an Awakening. It's through Brother Ralph. He's the one. So I have a lot of admiration, love, and respect for Brother Ralph. In fact, the last two times I was in Philly, kicked it with Brother Ralph. No doubt.
Yeah, I remember. He sent me a picture.
Did
I think
he?
It was you, Quay Coon, Ricky,
yeah.
Elliot, and Brother Ralph.
Yeah.
I tell you this. It's a new year. You got to become less long-winded, and you got to pick up the call whenever you see Ralph's number, because if not, he's gonna call you up, and he's going to tell you. But listen, as far as what Ralph was saying about this whole vaccination thing, all you have to do is study and look at history, and you will know that this is not something that you should take right away. You have to allow for there to be the necessary trials and time period to see what is the reaction to people in their bodies.
Yeah.
You just can't go and do what these people are basically asking us to do. I mean, to me, it's suicide. And if there's any type of messaging coming back in regards to AIDS or any other type of disease and association, that should be the key right there to
right.
tell you, walk away from it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we allow so-called celebrities and other individuals to influence how we allow ourselves to be treated and how we absolutely behave towards something of this nature, because unfortunately, most of the people in our community are in a serious panic.
Yeah. Well, you know,
this is
something that I will continue to say about this. And I saw this in print, and it's not just that black people randomly have a distrust of the medical industry or the system. It's that the government has violated that trust of our community for centuries.
Yep.
Stop making it seem like black people are paranoid or irrational when they have proven to be liars. Consistently over, they have proven to be liars. And so, to me, when now that I see what's happening, and like we just mentioned earlier about Fauci and Bill Gates and others in terms of population control, I even remember one of the so-called royals, prince, whatever, said something about, yes, we need to control the population of Africa, you know, and Africans. They want to control everybody's population.
I wouldn't be surprised if they are trying to control the population with this vaccination. Would you think it's beneath them? You know what I mean? Don't
right.
you think with the history that they've basically shown towards our people that this is something that they would do in a heartbeat?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't trust the white man on no level when it comes to this type of exchange between me and the community. It's just a historical fact.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, we as a people don't want to deal with the historical level of behavior that these animals have shown towards us. But listen, Oshie,
I just want to wish you again a happy new year.
You,
all
thank
of the
you,
listeners
Jay.
Out there, a happy new year. I hope that we have a prosperous new year and that we don't be hoodwinked by this fool Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the rest of them, and that we move forward to the most important thing, sovereignty of African people.
I say.
And on hold, Oshie, I got to make my banana bread, and I will talk to you later. Peace.
All right, peace. Thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Ralph. Appreciate all of the listeners. Sister Nabantu sent me a piece on Jamaica's 283rd year anniversary. It's on Zoom. Also, to January 1st, 1804 is the anniversary of the Haitian Revolution. If you want to get in this conversation, once again, if you're on, hit star twice and you can get in this conversation. Also, too, I'm going to play a piece on Dr. Clark. That was my focus for this afternoon. I want to, show my admiration and respect for Dr. John Henry Clark. And let me play this particular piece here. I ain't going to play a long one. I wanted to play that one. It's pretty long. It's a half hour, but we don't have time for that. In fact, we only have about 20 minutes left in the program, you know. So, let me see here.
Now, if you understood this, maybe we could free ourselves. We are totally an unobligated people. We don't owe anybody anything anywhere, left or right. Everybody that has come among us have come among us to exploit us, and they have exploited us successfully.
They shouldn't be clapping for that.
Now, let us begin at the beginning, because African people stood alone at the beginning of the world and started humanity. And started a thing as basic as tool making, as basic as making a bucket, a basket, as basic as learning how to use fire, how to bring down animals. Started all of this in the area to the south. When we look at and visualize a map of Africa, you have to visualize the Nile River and realize that that river is like the womb of a woman. And out of this womb came a series of children. Let us not call it civilization. White people have so misused the word civilization until the word has lost its meaning. Let us call it a culture. Came a series of cultures that developed and moved down that river, a great cultural highway, to establish a way of life and to create a way of life, religions, and history that is going to be so rich that mankind will steal from them from then on. And the rape of the culture of that river would change the world for all times to come. Now, when a people are lost from their cultural moorings, living in another people's country, or living in a country ruled over by another people, worshiping a god chosen for them by another people, worshiping a God that don't look like them, wearing clothes not of their design, living in a culture that don't belong to them. They live with warped souls and a lack of meaning. Mm. This summer in West Africa, I had to remind some of the people with me. So you have been here 2 weeks now. You haven't seen any children fighting. You haven't heard anybody call anybody a bitch. You haven't heard the word ML all the time you've been here. You haven't seen friction among people. And this is because these Africans are in the cultural incubator that created them. In the United States, you are in conflict. You are in conflict, and the people that brought you here are in conflict. Because this container does not fit your soul. It does not fit the soul of the ones who brought you here. It does not fit your soul. You will never be at peace in an alien land where you must compete for everything. You must compete for your bread, must compete for your apartment, must compete for your man, must compete for your woman, compete for your water. Everything you've got to compete with somebody for. Nothing comes automatic. Nothing is built into the culture itself. You came out of a culture where certain things are assured by virtue of coming out of the culture. And you didn't have to fight for them. Because if you obey the laws that govern the culture, the material resources of the culture, based on your need, came to you automatically. These were things of a socialist nature that existed in a culture not only before Karl Marx was born, but before Europe was born.
Yes. Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, I can listen to that man all day long, I tell you. Love Dr. Clark. I listen to him all day long.
Dr. John Henry Clark. Born on January 1st, 1915 in Union Springs, Alabama, to sharecroppers, Dr. John Henry Clark had always been aware that the history of his people had been omitted from textbooks and the Bible since his childhood. "I saw no African people in the printed and illustrated Sunday school lesson," said Dr. Clark, "and it was that which started his journey towards gaining new knowledge." Dr. Clark devoted his life to studying the history of his people, and during the process, he traveled all over the globe. During his journey, he began to see that the history of African people had been hidden not only from America, but all over the world. Hidden in plain sight, Dr. Clark learned that the history of man started with African people and decided to tell the world to help uplift his people. As a professor emeritus at Hunter College in New York, he was known for his detailed lesson plans on African history, so much that even the Schomburg Library in Harlem asked him for copies of his work. Despite having only an eighth grade education, Dr. Clark learned all that he could about African history and in the process created a career for himself. With 6 books, 59 short stories, and 17 edicts, Dr. Clark provided African people with a wealth of knowledge of the greatness of Africa. A world-renowned lecturer, Dr. Clark studied African history in every country of the rich continent except South Africa. He was a driven man because he was aware that the stories of greatness pertaining to African people had been excluded from the pages of three books. Dr. Clark died at the age of 83, leaving a legacy for millions of African people to learn from. I am blessed to have come in contact with the works of Dr. Clark, and I feel compelled to spread this information about a historical titan and a great soul. Thanks to Dr. Clark, people around the globe now have greater access to African history. I salute Dr. Clark and encourage you all to study his work and give praise to a champion of African history and consciousness, Dr. John Herrick Clark. We proudly, proudly stand on your shoulders.
Yes, Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, my admiration is so deep for Dr. Clark. He was an autodactic. That word means that he was self-taught. He was self-learner. You know, a deep self-learner. He did get a doctorate. He did get his master's. He did get his bachelor's and so forth. Even though he started out in an eighth grade education, you know, he left Alabama, jumped on the train like many people did, and went north. He went to Harlem, you know. In fact, what's another piece that I remember very well, that he saw an article says that, you know, by Arthur Schomburg, the Negro digs up his past. And so he went and sought out Arthur Schomburg, and when he approached him, he says, "I want the history of African people henceforth, here right now, at this moment." Excuse me. And and so Arthur Schomburg became a great source for him, and he became a part of the Harlem History Club with Willis Huggins and many others. I mean, Dr. Clark's just phenomenal, man. Yeah, really. He was in the service. He was master sergeant in the service. He did, for the clerical. He wasn't in the war. He did clerical work. Got an honorable discharge and so forth. And of course, went back to Harlem. And, you know, just did outstanding research. You know, he's a fine and great career. And, man, I tell you, deserves. And of course, he went to Ghana and did a lot of work in Ghana. He was married 3 times. His first child passed long before him, and he has 3 other children. And I appreciate his legacy and what he was able to do and what he's able to bring, you know. I'm going to go there. Clark advocated for studies of the African-American experience and place of Africa's in world history. He challenged the views of academic historians and helped shift the way African history was studied and taught. Clark was a scholar devoted to redressing what he saw as a systematic and racist oppression and distortion of African history by traditional scholars. He accused his detractors of having Eurocentric views. His writings include 6 scholarly books, many scholarly articles. He also edited anthologies of writings by African Americans or American Africans, as well as collections of his own short stories. In addition, Clark published great, interesting articles. Great, in one especially heated conversation, he edited and contributed to an anthology of essays by American Africans attacking the white writer William. Oh, that's right, the Confessions of Nat Turner. And I remember his debate. In fact, I don't know if you ever seen that quote. You probably have. He says, "I only debate my equals. All others I teach. I only debate my equals." But he dusted Mary Lefkowitz. And, you know, Mary Lefkowitz, they believe that Greek, the Greek philosophy, all the things that happened with Greek just happened. There was no influence. There was nothing that came into Greece from outside. Everything was developed through the great minds of the Greeks. They were not influenced by anybody. And of course, now we all know, you know, George G.M. James, his book, Stolen Legacy, pointed it out. And there's so many others that Greeks came and studied at the feet of African people, you know. And so all of the things that are attributed to Greeks are actually African, because they were great pledgers. They were thieves and liars. You know, I tell you, you know, when you, I don't hate anybody. Let me say that again, unequivocally. I don't hate anybody. But what I do hate is a system that Europeans have created, that have given themselves the top position with everybody else a lower position, with us as Africans at the lowest position, because to this day, because of what they have done, African people are despised. African people are denigrated and demeaned and degraded today because of what Europeans have done. In fact, to be a person of dark skin means that you are less than. This is what they have done. And this is what Dr. John Henry Clark was fighting, and all those other great warrior scholars were fighting. Francis Cress Welsing, all of them. This is what they were fighting. Brothers and sisters, we're starting off good. I want to get Mama Nabantu in here to maybe explain the Jamaican piece. And as I said, today also too is a is January 1st of 1804, the Haitian Revolution. The Haitian Revolution, and there's a documentary, 1804. And my good sister Bayina Bello is in it. Mama Nabantu.
Yes, you opened up the mic for me to speak.
Yes, I did. I appreciate it.
I'm in the middle of cooking, but Habarigani.
Imani, Habarigani, Imani. Yes.
Yes.
So you sent this.
I've been wanting to go to Acapon for years. They always celebrate the first week of January, and they're the ones that fought against the oppressors there. Was it the Portuguese or the British? Mm-hmm. They fought, Manny. Fought hard.
Right on.
They still have possession of that land after 283 years. And not a lot is talked about it, but a lot of people go every year. But this year, it's going to be virtual.
Okay, so I'm going to be virtual. And so you got the Zoom link here and an ID if you need it. Sometimes you don't need it. You just hit the link and you can go right into the Zoom. And so, brothers and sisters, if you are interested, I'm going to state this slowly so you can jot this down. This is the Zoom. This is the Zoom link. Okay. https://. I'll repeat, https://. US, the number 0, the number 2. W-E-B, web, U-S, 02, web, W-E-B, dot, Zoom, dot, U-S, / J, all this is in lowercase, brothers and sisters, okay, J, so the J is between two forward slashes, and then the number, 389-841-7079. I'm going to repeat. https://. US 02 WEB dot Zoom dot US / J / 389-841-7079. Hope that works for you. Hope you get a chance to hit that and check out Acapon in Jamaica in their 283rd anniversary of those brothers and sisters in Jamaica fighting against the British and freeing that land. You know. Anything else you want to add, Mama Nabantu?
I just want to say that I had the pleasure of meeting some of the descendants of the Maroons who came to Atlanta about maybe 5 years ago with Queen Mother Farrika out of D.C. She's from Jamaica. She was, her ancestors Maroons.
Okay.
And it was a pleasure to be amongst them. They came with all kinds of herbs. And I couldn't believe that they were able to get through customs with these but they said, oh, we know how to do it. I said, okay.
Okay, right on, right on, right on. Yeah. So understand who the Maroons, understand, brothers and sisters, she's talking about Nani, right? Of the Maroons.
Yeah.
You know, if you know the story of the Maroons, some of the Maroons sold out. They sold out to the British.
Right.
You know, in fact, some of those folks were catching other Africans and handing them over to the British. This is sad. But she didn't. She didn't sell out. And so this is their story, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, Mama Nubantu. I thank you so much, dear. All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Peace.
Peace and love.
Yeah. So, as we close for another program. You know, somebody asked me, why don't you call yourself a show? No, this ain't a damn show. This is a program, and I'm trying to do some reprogramming, okay? This is not entertaining. Although, I might say something funny. I doubt it. I might say something funny every now and then, but no, this is a program that, you know, that our brothers and sisters can partake, and hopefully they will be wiser because of it. Not because of me. You know, because what I do here is not my opinion. What I do here is I provide information based on the scholarly works of our scholars and historians, such as Dr. John Henry Clark, such as Dr. Ben and Chancellor Williams and John G. Jackson and Ivan, all these warrior scholars, you know, all of them, the men and women who without foundation money, grant money, reclaim, recapture, and restore the history of our people, to give it to us because they understood clearly that a people without a knowledge of self is like a tree without roots. What happens to a tree without roots? It dies. What happens to a people who have no knowledge of who they are? They will die. Why are we in such a damn mess that we're in? Because we lack that understanding and knowledge of our history. And we believe what these crackers have told us. Or these Europeans, these white folks. Sorry about that. I'm supposed to stop doing that this year. But sometimes, you know, makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it is ours. It is ours. Let's reclaim, recapture it, and restore it. It is ours. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. Let's have a good year this year, okay? Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. And brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Enjoy this day. Enjoy family. All right, family. Peace.